Continuing with the art of chanting classes, and we're discussing the selected points from chapter 12, Nam Rup Gun Leela, and holy name. So now everyone has some idea, or at least you've heard, that when you're chanting a holy name, there's something called Krishna's Nam, or name, and Krishna's form, and his qualities and his pastimes, Nam Rup Gun and Leela. And in different scriptures it says if we simply chant Hare Krishna purely, then the pure name comes to us, or we chant without offenses, and Krishna is very pleased, and then Shudanam may descend into our heart. And when Shudanam descends into our heart, then we can actually experience these higher realizations in the holy name. That Krishna's Leela is in the holy name, Krishna's associates are there, his form, his qualities, everything. So now someone might ask the question, how is it that this name of Krishna, the Shabda Brahman, the spiritual vibration of Krishna's name, how does it produce Rupam? How does that happen? So there's a section here that describes this. It's called the friction stick phenomenon. Friction stick. Like when you want to start a fire, even they use particular types of wood when they do yagya or home. It's called arani wood. Arani and other types of wood that are specially used for yagyas, fire yagyas. But everyone, maybe you know, when you're a kid, you can start a fire by rubbing two sticks together. You have two pieces of dry wood, like in the forest, and you rub them together really, really tightly and really fastly. That causes what they call friction. And they rub together, then some smoke comes in it, and you blow a little bit, then fire comes. So how is it that the tree, it seems that the tree is simply dry wood. Wood appears to be like earth. Wood is a transformation of earth and water. It seems like it's just some solid, like this is wood. Earth is solid, wood is solid. But fire is like air. Fire is not solid. So these solid, two solid objects, two pieces of earth, two pieces of dry wood, when they're rubbed together, they produce fire, which is a very subtle. So it's like magic in one sense. So how does it produce fire? Because fire is inside. Fire is dormant, latent within the wood. And when the right circumstance is there, the fire comes out. Sometimes Prabhupada uses the analogy that just like in a forest, a forest fire sometimes start with apparently without any cause. There's no arson or no person going there and igniting the fire with some kerosene or whatever. But what happens, just the friction of the dry bamboos. The bamboos rub together. You say vants, I think you say vants. Vants means bamboo. Vamsidadi. He plays a bamboo flute. The bamboo rubs together and then it creates a fire. So this happens in the forest. So the Shastras state that by chanting Krishna's holy name, one will eventually see Krishna's form, his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes. How does this happen? Shvetashvatara Upanishad, section 1, chapter 13, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, gives a wonderful explanation how transcendental sound reveals the form of God. So we say Nam, then Rup. So this wonderful explanation is given how the form of Krishna, we were chanting the holy name, and one day, this is Nam, Krishna's Nam, we're chanting the holy name, one day we'll see Krishna's form. So how does that happen? What is that transformation by which the holy name of Krishna reveals Krishna's beautiful form? So the material form, or murti, of fire, when latent or hidden in its source, firewood, is not perceived, yet it remains there in its subtle form. If I show you a piece of wood and I say, there's fire, this is fire. You say, no, this is wood. Wood looks like a combination of earth and water. Not much water because it's dry. If it's wet wood, we say wet wood. We have a term, wet wood. That means water. It means wood mixed with water. But wood basically is earth. It's some minerals and whatever, it's earth. It's not fire. I say, this is fire. You say, this is wood. Wood is like earth. And some bit of water there. And when it dries out, as it dries out, there's less water and more earth. But it's actually a fact that fire is there. But we don't perceive it. So first we have to understand this point. The fire is there, but we don't perceive it. We only see wood. So the analogy is, in Krishna's name, there's Shabda. We say, Hare Krishna. So the sound, but we don't perceive form. But the form is there, packed inside. Just like if I give you a small banyan seed. Banyan seed is like a sorso kabij, like a mustard seed. It's very, very small. It's maybe this much diameter. Very, very small. I say, see inside, see this? This banyan seed, there's huge branches here, there's huge trunk, there's so many twigs and leaves and so many little figs will come here from this thing. You say, oh, come on. It's only a little tiny seed. So no, it's all there. It's all hiding in there, isn't it? From that banyan seed comes this huge banyan tree. And so then, of course, you'll believe it when you see it. You put the banyan seed in the ground and, oh, look, this big tree came and the branches are going everywhere for kilometers practically sometimes. And it dropped down and come up. Vast covering of foliage and all these little black figs come on the, like we say, figs, little black figs. That's the fruit of the banyan tree. They come on the actual branches. And the birds alight there and eat those fruits, banyan fruits. So you say, oh, it's really a fact. The same way, there are devotees, when they chant Hare Krishna, they experience Krishna's lila. And we've heard some of those revelations when we were reading the last chapter about the meaning of the holy name, that when Jiva Goswami chants, or Vishwanath, or Raghunath, they're chanting the same mantra we're chanting, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But so many lilas of Krishna are coming, of Radha and Krishna, because the mantra is Radha and Krishna, Hare is Radha, and Krishna is Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So they chant, and that holy name has so many things. When we chant, it's only a seed. It's like a mustard seed. When they chant, it's branches and leaves and fruits and everything. Same mantra. Same seed in one stage, it's only a seed. Same seed at a later period of time, interval of time, it's this vast tree occupying the entire backyard. So the same holy name, when it's chanted by a neophyte or a kanishtha or a beginner who is under the influence of aparad, then it's only shabda. A shabda brahman, but even he doesn't know that. He thinks it's only sound vibration. So this is the analogy that they use. This is a direct quote from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which is one of the 108 primary Upanishads. So we don't perceive fire in a source, which is wood. It remains there in a subtle, invisible form. But when two sticks of wood, dry wood, are rubbed together with enough force or friction, then that dormant fire manifests. First some smoke comes, you keep going, then fire. The Upanishad goes on. Similarly, by making one's own body, the lower friction stick, Arani, and the syllable Om, Pranava, the Om, which is the Pranava Omkar, the upper friction stick, and by practicing the friction of meditation, Dhyan, one may see the Supreme Personality of God hidden within his heart. So yogis, this is from the Upanishad, they want to see, at least the Savishesh yogis, they want to see the form of Paramatma. They meditate on Paramatma. This type of meditation is described in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 6, they go to a lonely place. I mean, real yoga is not done in some city in Delhi or Noida or New York. Yoga classes, 4 to 6 a.m., everyone come, and 50 people come and go, ha, 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 ha. And this, but yoga, it says, yoga must be done alone, in a lonely place, in the forest, not in a city. It must be done in the sattvic, the supporting environment of sattvagun, the pure vibration of the forest, and the mountain, and the rivers. And you must be fearless. You must sit on an asan, and a special asan to protect you from snakes and scorpions and poisonous creatures. Even when you sit on a deer skin or a tiger skin, and then you cover that with kusamat, and cover the kusamat with wool blanket, then you won't get harassed by animals like tigers, and they don't like the smell of another tiger skin. They think it's another tiger, so they run away. And snakes and whatnot are repelled by the kusamat. So they sit there fearlessly alone and they practice yoga with their eyes half closed. And they meditate on the Paramatma, Chaturbhuj Narayan, in their heart, like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj's story is told in 4th canto of Bhagavatam. He went to Madhavan He's only a 5-year-old boy, but he was doing this Ashtanga yoga meditation called Dhyanam. Dhyan, he was doing mantra Dhyanam. He was also chanting Om, but because he was initiated by a Vaishnava guru, his guru said, you chant Om and meditate on the super soul, but you chant Om, Namo, Bhagavate, Vasudevaya. Vasu, Vasudevaya. He's the Lord Vasudev of all the living entities. So Dhruva Maharaj was chanting Om. So the yogis, according to this Upanishad, they use their body as a lower friction stick, and then they mix this mantra in their body with their body, this Om mantra. And by chanting, as it says here, then what happens coming when their body is used to chant this mantra, the rubbing of their body with this mantra, Om, Om, then Spurti. They see Vishnu Spurti. They have a vision of the Lord. So now, taking this as praman, or proof or evidence from the Shastra, the author develops a point. The verse above explains that the form of God is within every body. Body, our body, which is one friction stick. And the form of God is within the name Om, the second friction stick. However, without applying the process of sadhana, namely chanting and meditation, one will not perceive the Lord either in his heart or in the holy name. One can conclude from this Shastric statement that by sincerely chanting and meditating upon the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which contains Om within it, one will perceive the form of Krishna within his heart. Therefore, using the friction stick of the Mahamantra is a prerequisite for attaining either internal or external darshan of Lord Sri Krishna. This is called the friction stick phenomenon. You translate this in Hindi? Aravind's wife is translating this book into Hindi. Slowly. ever too slowly. But drops of water wear away stone, so it's quite a big boulder, and it's getting worn away slowly. Everyone should gang up on her now. Hey, come on, what's going on? What's the Hindi book? Yeah, there you go. Slow and steady. Yeah, the steady part, I don't know. Slow is there. She's slow. Slow, S for slow, but the steady part is questionable. Anyway, that concludes chapter 12. So this Upanishadic description should increase our faith. That's the whole idea of studying Shastra in association of devotees, is to increase our faith in the process of sadhana which we are undertaking. But sometimes in the practice of sadhana, because it's solitary, sadhana means S for sadhana, S for solitary. You collect strength in association, and you collect inspiration in association, but the practice is solitary. It's solo. You die your own death. No one dies together. The husband's old and he says, well, I'm dying, so everyone should join me. He holds hands with his wife and his kids. Okay, everybody, let's die together. Dying is a solo program. You take your birth is a solo program. So sadhana is also solo. You have to do your sadhana, and you have to make your connection with God and attain your own realizations. No one can give you those realizations except God. What happened? Oh, Ant's going there, huh? Didn't see him. Red ones are more fun, no? They bite nice. You can't forget, when you meet them, you can't forget the meeting. It's an unforgettable experience. It lasts for days. When a red ant bites you, you know about it. They bite you for keeps. A black ant just doesn't care. Can souls meet after death? Well, if you're a Mormon, you follow the Mormon religion of Salt Lake City, Utah. They have a whole philosophy like that, that when we die, we'll all go to heaven, the mother, the father, the grandmother, everybody. We'll all live there. Our whole family will be there, the Koshik dynasty. We'll all be up there in heaven. Petra Lok. Yeah, it's actually Petri Lok. Pitriloka is a place of the ancestors. But when we ask them, we say, well, and you all live there eternally in this heaven, your whole family. They said, yes. So do you think that your grandmother will not want to live eternally in a 99-year-old body? Because you ask them about their Mormon philosophy. So yes, my grandmother, everyone, and they go, oh, well, I don't know. They have no idea. How old will your grandmother, because your grandmother's your grandmother, so she died when she's 99. So she's going to be all no teeth, blind, glaucoma, cataracts, deaf, and no teeth, has to eat ice cream every day, that's all she can eat. She's going to be like that eternally in the spiritual world. So they have no answer. So your question about whether souls meet again in next life, they often do, but they don't remember. Right in this plane, in the material world, oftentimes people reincarnate life after life, especially husbands and wives. They take turns. Now you're playing wife role. Next time you can play husband role. And it goes on like this. Your husband beats you up now. And you say, oh, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to get back at you. You know, you're so big, I'm so small. You can slap me around. Just wait if I get big someday. So then she dies and she becomes a big fat man. And you become a little skinny lady. And then she beats you up. Because that's her sankalpa. That makes a very strong sanskara in her chitta. She becomes man and she becomes a bully type man and she beats up the wife. Or he beats up the wife.